I was preaching once and somebody's phone rang and it was an ice cream truck. And after that, everyone was just like, oh, I need to go and get ice cream. Just to build on what Lauren said before and offer as much context as we can at the moment. So I'm from Burley, Village Uniting Church down in Burley. And have a long, as many of you would know, connection to this community, both as Pack Pines and then as Coomera. And we felt God stir us a while back to say, can we support, partner with, what can it look like? And so we're kind of in the midst of, and the language that we're using is partnering, of like, well, how can these two churches that are geographically probably 35 minutes away from each other work together to see the kingdom of God flourish? And so it's an experiment. It's not locked in, but it is this thing that we are, faithfully trying to follow God to move toward. And it's been very exciting so far. So you're probably going to cop me about twice a month. Whether that's good or bad, if it's bad, just don't tell me, just don't turn up. But if it's good, please come. And we're going to hopefully resource you guys, as we do in Village, with some great preachers in between those things, that we can all be preaching the same thing. And so develop a sense of both shared identity, but we're on the same mission, wanting to retain the flavor of this congregation. So not wanting to say, well, you have to be like us or we have to be like you, but who's God called you to be here? And let's just enhance that flavor as much as we possibly can. So as Lauren said, you'll find out more as things outside of our control come to be. But we're excited about where it's headed and where God's leading us in. So today I want to talk about the Sabbath. Sabbath, is that language that's familiar with people? Sabbath. Sabbath's an interesting one. It's an old word. It's not a word that we might use in regular conversation. We can liken it or almost diminish it to a day off. So the Sabbath is a day off, but the Sabbath is far richer than that. It's far more than that. And I want to stir us and lead us into that today. Hopefully you got a transformation track when you came in, like a little booklet. That's a resource and kind of framework of different content and questions and so forth for you to engage with over the course of the next month. So we sort of talk about the theme today and then we engage with it. You engage with it in various capacities that suit you over the next month. And then we have the next edition of a Transformation Trek. But the whole thing is about helping us walk closer with Jesus. So it's about our spiritual vitality and walking closer with Jesus. And so today we have this biblical invitation into this concept of Sabbath that has been all but slaughtered in our culture. Our culture, if you walk out there into any way, shape or form, any relationship with a person that's not of faith or a situation that's not connected with faith, the idea of Sabbath is bizarre, strange, forgotten, never understood, never practiced. The closest we might get is a professional coach or a personal coach saying you need to rest more as part of your thing. So, question for you. Who here would regularly Sabbath? Who holds that as something important that they're able to do on a regular basis? Stick your hand up. Yep, awesome. That's good. Oh, I love it. It's really, really healthy. It's an Old Testament directive that was born out of when God Sabbathed. Think about that for a minute. God Sabbathed. The one entity that never needed to Sabbath is God. God wasn't tired or needed a break or anything like that. But God went, this is part of the rhythm of creation that he built in, that he himself submitted himself to. And then we move forward to Moses. And we realize when Moses comes along that they were not doing a great job of Sabbathing because God commands them to Sabbath. It was one of the Ten Commandments. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. So for them, for God to command it, it wasn't something they were naturally doing and really good at. So we're going to have a look at what did a Sabbath look like? For someone back then in the Jewish times, so 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, what actually was a Sabbath? Because I think as we understand what a Sabbath was, it enriches what our Sabbath might be. So, in Jewish tradition, the Sabbath would start on a Friday evening, sundown Friday evening, and would go all the way through to sundown Saturday evening. So all of a sudden, that's a little bit different than how we might understand that as Christians, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But they would need to prepare for Sabbath. They called it Shabbat. They would need to prepare for Shabbat because you weren't allowed to do any work on Shabbat. So all the cooking, all the food preparation, all the housework, everything else had to be done so that when Shabbat came along, they could lend themselves completely and utterly to it. So the cleaning of the house, the preparing of the food, the cooking of all the meals needed to take place before sundown on Friday evening. Then to signify it, they would light up to 2 candles in the house, which were lit by the woman of the house. She would light these 2 candles. That was to symbolize Shabbat. Sabbath had now begun. They had moved into this holy space. After that, the families would then go to worship. They go to worship in the local synagogue, and they would recite special prayers and recite traditional melodies. So they would have what we would call a prayer and praise service, where they prayed and they sung songs together. Then they would withdraw from that, they would go home, and they would feast. They would feast on the traditional, beautiful recipes and meals of their faith and of their past. It was this party that they came home to. Sometimes friends would join, sometimes extended family, sometimes it was just whatever that family unit looked like, which is bigger than whatever our family units look like. And then during a Sabbath, it was forbidden to work. So from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, it was forbidden to work. That meant you couldn't labor, you couldn't cook, you couldn't drive anywhere, you couldn't write anything, you couldn't handle any money, you couldn't put makeup on, you couldn't do your hair. Madness, right, ladies? Madness that wasn't allowed. But you get the picture of nothing. You couldn't do anything that created something, that produced something, that was required of you doing something. The idea of Sabbath was about focusing on communal and spiritual things, about being together and being with God, not about creating, producing, or doing anything. So on Saturday morning, when they would wake up on Saturday morning, Jews would often attend synagogue for the Shacharit service. I probably said that wrong. If you're fluent in Hebrew, I apologize. But it was this service which included the recitation of prayers. They would read the Torah, and then a rabbi would preach. So pretty much what we do on a Sunday morning. Their day of worship was a Saturday. Now Christians, our day of worship is a Sunday. The reason it's Sunday is twofold. One, significantly so, that Jesus was resurrected on a Sunday. So the Christian church and the Christians were, we need to get together every week and celebrate the resurrection of Christ. So that's why we meet on a Sunday. We're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. And a small part of it was a rebellion away from the Jewish way of things. Well, they worshipped on Saturday, so we're going to do something different on a Sunday. So after worship on the Sabbath, they would spend quality time with each other, enjoying relationships, enjoying family, and enjoying faith. There was this idea of delighting in and resting in and worshiping God. So when you think about Sabbath, the best way to understand Sabbath is the day where we rest in, we delight in, and we worship God. Now, many families during that day would have studied the Jewish texts. They would have studied the Torah, which is the first 5 books of our Old Testament, or they would have studied the Talmud, which is basically the rules and regulations of what it means to be a Jew. And they would discuss those teachings and those values and what it meant and how it worked. And the day was punctuated all the way through with amazing food. With this food where they would come together and they would feast and they would eat together and they would share bread and wine with friends who came by. Then in the afternoon, they would again come together as a community for the Mincha service. So they would come together again. This is the third time on the Sabbath they would come together again. And they would say prayers and they would read from the Torah or the Talmud, probably the Torah actually, as they gathered together in worship. And then as Sabbath came to a close, Saturday evening or late afternoon approached, they in their homes had a ceremony called Havdalah. And Havdalah was where they recited blessings and they shared wine with spices to mark the end of Shabbat. So it was this moment of saying, this is end. They would light and talk about a special multi-wicked candle. And the ceremony marked the difference between what was holy and now what was going to be secular. So they would go to sleep as sun came down, which I realized different times. Sun went down, they would go to sleep, and they would wake up on the Sunday morning ready for a day of work again after being well rested in their faith in God and in each other. The Sabbath for thousands of years was a very structured event. Like, as you read that, part of me resists that. I'm like, oh, it's too structured. Church, three times, 24 hours. Like, oh, I'm not sure about that. There's a lot of regiment around that. But here's what's interesting. That regiment held them to the Sabbath. It held them to God. In fact, their whole society revolved around it. The entire society revolved around, we all Shabbat, we all Sabbath. Everyone does. All of society stops to Sabbath. And if you didn't, that was a grievous sin. It wasn't that was just a... It was bad, bad news if you refused to Sabbath to the point that you were ejected from the community. You were pushed out of the community. You are not a God-fearing Jew. You're out of the community. Now, some of you would remember, we'll just do a bit of a history lesson here, when Sunday sport in our culture became a thing. Can you remember that? What's the date, you reckon? What date, year, do you reckon Sunday sport became a thing in our society? The 80s? 70s? 70s or 80s? Earlier? Yeah. 50s? Not thousands of years ago, though. Hey, like, in the last century. All right, how about this one? What about when supermarkets began trading on a Sunday? What year was that-ish? 70s again? See, the 70s, everything fell apart in the 70s, didn't it? I was born in the 70s. There you go, that's proof of it. In 2010, I got my first smartphone. It was incredible. But what I quickly realized is I could work anywhere. That taking time away from your computer or from that sort of world became much harder, or in a sense, it became much easier to engage because I had my computer now on my phone. And you see this trend of our society in the last 50 or so years, 60 years, moving from we get the Sabbath. Even people who weren't believers had a day of rest. Whereas now, our world is so challenged by demands that we work and we do more. Who works from home here? Show of hands, who works from home? Just the three or four. He's like, oh, I shouldn't put up my hand. I'm going to get in trouble the way this is going. I work from home. When you work from home, you don't go to work anymore. And so work and doing become part of these things that previously had clear boundaries. So these boundaries are starting to get very muddy about where I stop being and where I start doing. And so our identities can easily become more about the doing and how good we are at doing stuff than being before God who we're meant to be. The Japanese have a word for this. It's the word kairoshi. And kairoshi means death by overwork. It's a good one, right? Death by overwork. What happened is humanity has moved from a very, very structured, solid, reliable and regular understanding of delighting in, resting in, worshipping God. Over thousands of years, and in the last little while, it has accelerated exponentially to an extremely fractured experience of what it means to rest in God. That if we were to, if I was to interview each of you and say, what does it mean for you to rest in God? Guaranteed, you give me different answers. Because it means something different to every person. For some of you, you may say, I don't rest in God. I don't even know what that means. I don't know how it fits in my life, resting in God, because humanity has moved from very structured to very fragmented. So the culture, alone from our own personal experience and practice, the culture we live in has this very fractured understanding of what it means to Sabbath, to delight in God, to worship God, to rest in God. But at the same time, our society has become so hungry for it. And I'm not just talking about our church. Our society hungers for rest and rejuvenation. And for those who are more spiritually inclined, they want a spiritual component where God meets them in that and fixes all of the brokenness. Our mental health issues have skyrocketed in the last decade. The ministry I do today, I was ordained 20 years ago, is entirely different to what it looked like at the start. And a lot of that is based on social media elevating people's mental health issues. And the world that we live in now is so fractured compared to just 20 years ago. Burnout is frequently part of people's stories. I sat down with you and said, have you burnt out, or someone close to you ever burnt out? However you might understand that, people would say, yeah, that's a familiar thing. When they Sabbathed, it was the most foreign understanding you could. Nobody ever burnt out. What? Like, they wouldn't even believe you. How can that possibly happen? We Sabbath every week. It couldn't possibly happen. Christians are just as tired as people who don't follow Jesus. We're just as tired as people who don't follow. We shouldn't be. We've been given this gift of Shabbat. People have 7 different careers changes in their lives. That's the average now. 7 different career changes. That's searching for something fulfilling that perhaps doesn't deliver. And then the increased number of people who enter early retirement is more than it's ever been. That's not a bad thing. But doesn't it say, oh, I'm done. I get to rest now. Kids as young as 8 are getting smartphones. It's insanity. Just crazy. But then our Sunday can look like every other day of the week. And so when we wake up Monday morning, it may as well be waking up on Wednesday or Thursday morning. I know many of you, without talking to you, are exhausted with life. I feel exhausted with life. So, Exodus 20 verse 8 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what's fascinating is, that's the Hebrew translation. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. And the Hebrew translation says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But if you pick up any modern translation, they say, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And so the Hebrew is, it's about that day. Keep the day holy. But our culture has massaged that to be like, it's the idea of the day that we need to keep holy. And there's an issue with that. Because we've subtly moved from this idea of there are boundaries and we're held to this thing, to it's kind of up to me how I express my Sabbath. That's the ideology, not wrong. It's just dangerous because we're terrible at it. And we'll talk more about that in just a minute. I think Jesus is to blame. Jesus is utterly to blame for this. One day he's walking, this is in Matthew 12, he's walking with his disciples. You may remember this story. They're walking through a grain field. It says, at the time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. So just, we know everything about the Sabbath now. And Jesus is walking in the grain fields on the Sabbath. You're allowed to walk on the Sabbath. That's okay. His disciples were hungry and they began, you wouldn't believe this, they began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. I know, you're outraged, just like I am. This is the Sabbath, Jesus. Are you kidding me? The rules are clear. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. They were absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. His disciples were working. They were harvesting grain on the Sabbath. And work on the Sabbath was forbidden. And so Jesus says, haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? And then he tells that story, which you can read later on. And then he rolls out of that. He says, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He's quoting Hosea. Hosea was an Old Testament prophet, one of the big guns. And in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, Hosea says, of God, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He says, if you knew that, to these religious elite, which they did, if you knew that, you would not have condemned the innocent, my poor little followers. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. And we have built a theology based on what Jesus said, where we are the Lord of the Sabbath. And it's a tool, the Sabbath is a tool for us to wield for our health. But we are not the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is this gift. It's this beautiful gift where God says, be with me. It's a gift, you be with me. The Sabbath is this pathway for us to enjoy the presence of the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus. Through Sabbathing, we encounter Jesus because the Sabbath belongs to him. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. It is his. So when we Sabbath, we actually, it's not just an Old Testament God, but it's the New Testament Christ who we get to encounter and live with. Yet we assume we have the power to stop working when we choose. That's the problem. When we grab this idea of Sabbath rather than a day of Sabbath, a day demands us, it has clear boundaries, it demands that we engage. But the idea rests on that I have the strength and the willpower as a person to Sabbath when it chooses me and to say to the tsunami of work and culture that says you need to do, you need to produce, you need to create to be worth anything, I have the power to say stop. And what we realize is we don't. That God gave us these boundaries. He gave us these strong ways of saying, just submit yourself to this and you will find replenishment for your soul. And the way they used to do it for thousands of years was from sundown on Friday to sundown on Sunday. But that's not the day we have to cherish. We have to cherish the boundaries that we create where we say, I've stepped into this point, have a ritual into this point. I'm Sabbathing now. Until this point, when I have a ritual and I move back into creating. So what's the answer? What do we do? Have a look around. Just look around the other faces in the room. You guys know, many of you know each other. We have amongst us, we're about to have a brand new baby and expectant mum. Some of you are teenagers. Others have hectic families with all sorts of commitment. Some of you are single. Some of you have seen your kids leave home. You've made it. Congratulations. Some of you are grandparents that have grandparent duties, perhaps as much, not as much, or more than you like. Some of you might be considering retirement. Some of you have already retired. We have a very different mix of people in the room. So how do we all Sabbath? What does that look like? Because for some of us, Sabbathing as they used to do in the Old Testament is not actually possible because of the way our lives look. Well, I think we need to work together to help us each individually out. We have wisdom and an empathy to share amongst ourselves to help each other make sense of this. And I think ultimately all we need to do is go, what's the one step I need to take from fractured understanding of Sabbath to whole understanding of Sabbath? What's that one step that I need to take? And I'm going to make it in the context of community. I'm going to make that decision in context of community. I'm going to take that step. Because when we take a step towards Sabbath, you know what you want more of? Sabbath. It's like, oh, this is good. It's good for my soul. I want to take another step. But we can exhaust ourselves by going, well, this is my expression at the moment, and that's what it should be. And I couldn't. No, you couldn't. So take one step. What's the one step of bringing the Sabbath into your life that you need to take? And so what we've done today is I've deliberately preached for less time so that it gives us an opportunity to have our final song. We're going to offer a benediction, and then we're going to hand out some questions. And there's four questions, and they're all about what we've been talking about. First question is, what does Sabbath look like in my life? Why do I find it hard to Sabbath? Or if you're good at it, what are the benefits that I've had from Sabbathing? What's the next step I need to take, and what help do I need? And what I would love for us to do is, after we finish in the service, just stay with the people that are around you and have a chat, and then take those conversations to morning tea. So usually what we do is we might catch up with people, they move outside, some might take off, but we've got a bit of time today. What I'd love to encourage you to do is start that conversation with the person next to you and then draw more people into those conversations as you go to coffee, because the practice of Sabbath was communal. It worked when everyone said, hey, let's work this out together, because there is strength in numbers. So let me pray for you and then we're going to move into that.